In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
An NFL game week on the Fan. Welcome back. Grant and Danny with you, the exclusive sponsor for our shows, the law firm Kondori & Murad. They'll guide you and your family in the right direction by to help you draft a will or set up a trust. They'll also get you squared away on a healthcare power of attorney if need be. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you as a show. That way they'll give you a discount. KMLawyers.com. My parents were taken great care of by Kia Kondori and Wasim Morad, our guys over there. So check them out. They'll do a good job for you.
It's that adult thing that you got to do. You don't think about it, right? When you're a kid, they never tell you, hey, you got to figure out all the bad permutations of stuff that could happen to you, but you got to get your affairs in order, man. It's a grown-up thing to do.
Our affairs tonight include a fantasy football draft.
Oh, indeed, sir.
For the Grant and Danny Listener League. Come hang out with us and a bunch of listeners as we draft our teams tonight. We are going to be in Crystal City at Highline R&R. Going to be an excellent vibe and a great setting for the 2024 G&D Listener League.
So they did like an Instagram post with like two characters on it that are like these thin, handsome guys that gave you red hair.
So here's what I don't understand about that. And thank them for doing it because I'm a big believer in publicity being a good thing.
Promote the thing.
Were those just two random guys that were wearing headset mics?
I don't know.
Or was that supposed to be you and me?
I don't know. And I'm not trying to be difficult or like spoiled about it. We're like, oh, that's not my likeness. Like, it's cool. They're promoting the event. That's what I want. I'm all in.
I was a skinny redhead.
Yeah, like that's what it was. Like, yes. I was like, I don't know that that's, I guess I'm the other guy. If that's like, that guy had dark hair.
You were extremely handsome.
Yeah, and I was like, I guess handsome, more handsome than me. He's a cartoon.
I would say it looked more like you than it looked like me. But I was a skinny ginger.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'd rather be a skinny ginger than what I am.
Okay.
Probably.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
I was like, who's that? I want to be that guy.
I don't know that guy.
How fun does that guy look?
But anyway, that was fun. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate them doing it.
Yes, we do.
But come hang out, eat some wings. We'll be a less skinny ginger when you get there. I'll be the guy that isn't that.
Yeah. That was my metabolized self.
Let's get to week one in the NFL and some of the big storylines. Game by game, we'll go through a big part of the slate. It all gets started with Thursday Night Football, the kickoff of a brand new season. Seems like an annual tradition at this point at Arrowhead Stadium with the Ravens and the Chiefs. The Chiefs have a chance to be the first ever team to three-peat. But on top of that, they, if they get to the Super Bowl, will be the first team to ever get back to a Super Bowl having won the last two. So no one's ever three-peated, and in fact, no team gunning for their third straight has ever even gotten to the Super Bowl game. They host the Ravens in their quest to do so. Patrick Mahomes, an annual MVP candidate.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think last year's too much in your mind. I mean, you're so focused on trying to get better, and I mean, we're playing the best of the best. I mean, week one. So we're going to see where we're at. We're going to go out there and play our best football early in the season. But all we can do is go out there and be our best. I mean, it's going to take that in order to get the win, and we're going to learn from our mistakes and make adjustments on the sideline and go out there and find a way to beat a really good football team.
Yeah, last year Kansas City started off kind of slowly. They were sort of working their way through the beginning part of the season, knowing full well they'd be there at the end. Not a lot of challengers in that division, and it seemed like Baltimore was the class of the AFC. They were the best team in the NFL for most of last year. A lot of turnover, a lot of change, including a defensive coordinator. Now the head coach in Seattle lost a lot of personnel. So this is the time, if you're going to play the Chiefs, you'd like them week one rather than, say, week 16 or 17.
Yeah, ask the Lions, to your point, from last year's opener. I do think it's interesting that Rashee Rice didn't get suspended and probably isn't going to. Sometimes the league says, we don't need to find out what happened legally. We can do our own research. Sometimes they wait for everything to play out. So it's kind of, I don't know what to expect, rhyme or reason with suspensions. But Hollywood Brown, not all the way back, not healthy. So it'll be a lot of Xavier Worthy, presumably. They just signed Juju Smith-Schuster. As far as Baltimore goes, first game with brand new 32-year-old defensive coordinator Zach Orr. And this will go one way or the other. If that defense is really good again, which it should be, he'll be a head coach in 2 years.
Yep.
Maybe getting interviews this offseason. He'll be the next guy, the hot candidate in the NFL. But they lost a lot of assistants. He's elevated from his linebacker role a year ago. Obviously, their coordinator on defense last year is now the head coach in Seattle, Mike McDonald. So there's some questions on that side of the ball for John Harbaugh after they lost some talent as well. But most of the young players for the Ravens, it'll be coming back and playing, are actually on the offensive side of the ball, including Roger Rosengarten, their projected right tackle from that rookie class. The Friday night game. Yes, I said Friday night game.
Coach Eric Taylor?
Not Friday Night Lights.
Oh,
this is
different. Different.
Maybe outside of the States, Friday Night Lights in the National Football League. It's the Packers and the Eagles. We're going outside of the United States, Danny. We are playing this thing in Brazil.
Obviously.
Did you see any of the restrictions that the league passed along to players?
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Oh, it was like, do not leave your hotel. Do not wear any jewelry. Do not say hello to anyone.
Do not pass go.
Do not leave the bus without like armed guards. And I'm paraphrasing and joking a little bit. But basically, they don't, especially after the Ricky Pearsall thing,
it
was just like, hey, man, let's just stare at the ground and run into every building you're going into. And Darius Slay and some other guys are like, why the hell are you sending us there? Like, you can't send me for work to do something and then scare me with this. Like, I guess our families are staying home from this one.
Yeah, maybe we'll skip this trip and I'll send you a text if I'm allowed to keep my phone with me. Yeah, you know, it's the never-ending quest to make this thing global. I'm conflating analogies here, but you got to break a few eggs, I suppose. I don't know. It doesn't seem like a great idea to me. I love the Friday Night Lights angle, please and thank you. More of that. I'm all about it. But that just seems a little iffy to me.
Yeah, you're not going to get a whole lot more of it because it's essentially illegal in the States to have Friday night games because of high school football until after the season ends. Packers-Eagles, though, two playoff teams potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, Green Bay won a playoff game, destroyed the Cowboys. We talked about it last hour. And then they gave San Francisco fits in the postseason. Meanwhile, Philadelphia is highly considered to come out of the NFC East. People think they could be a Super Bowl team if Jalen Hurts bounces back. And the Packers have some new faces in some new places. Matt LaFleur's got a brand new running back in Josh Jacobs, who led the league in rushing 2 years ago with the Raiders.
The more experience you get with somebody, you find out what they like, what they're best at. But I would say definitely from a pass standpoint, how you can utilize them in the passing game, whether some guys are check down guys, some guys are creative route runners. And I think you just got to go through the process and throw some stuff at him and see how he does with it. And it'll be an interesting year to see what he can do.
I loved Matt LaFleur when he was here in D.C. He was probably one of the coaches on that staff I was closest with. Having said that, I am stunned with how good a head coach he's become this quickly. And a lot of people right away will discount the first few years going 13-3 because it's just Aaron Rodgers. You can't
possibly. It's hard to go 13-3, man.
Be good. But 9-8 last year with Jordan Love developing into a franchise QB, making the playoffs, getting a win. In his career, LaFleur is 56-27 in 6 years.
He sounds, when he talks, like a guy that's been doing this for 40 years.
Yeah.
Even when he was still in his 30s.
He's just a worker.
That's what he sounds like, right? He had the maturity.
Yeah. Like, not everyone is a burn the candle at both ends and like you tell your wife you'll see her in January kind of coach. That's Matt LaFleur, and it has worked in Green Bay.
Other side is the Eagles. This is such a fascinating group. And obviously, I hate them so much, and I hope they lose every game, and their fans are miserable for 1,000 years. But just in terms of objective football stuff, Nick Sirianni basically fired himself as the offensive leader, right? Enter Kellen Moore, sort of revamped this group, trying to get Jalen Hurts back to MVP level. You've got weapons at the Yang. Of course, a familiar former first-round pick from right down the street here, Jahan Dotson, will be their slot receiver to go with Devontae Smith, A.J. Brown. It's a revamped defense in theory. That's a group that could absolutely win the NFC East, or their coach could get fired.
I wonder if Jahan Dotson's going to make a play or two in primetime. Everybody watching on Friday night. A big debut in Atlanta for the Falcons. They are a sexy pick at NFC South. I think they're being a bit overrated. I don't quite see it the way everybody does. I don't know where the pass rush is going to come from necessarily with them. They did go get Matthew Judon in the preseason, which should help a lot. But they were a really bad pass rushing team last year. I don't know if that's enough of a fix for them in that regard. And I don't like their weapons as much as everybody else. There's this assumption that Kirk Cousins, who they bring in, is just going to now make Kyle Pitts be what he's supposed to be, and Drake London's going to take off. I think they're pretty good. I don't think they're really good. To me, that's more of a 9-win team than an 11-win team, but they've kind of been crowned. They host the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's a 1 o'clock kickoff in Atlanta on Sunday. For the Steelers, they had a battle that went throughout camp in the preseason at quarterback between Justin Fields and Russell Wilson. Wilson won the thing. In fact, my daughter struggles to say her R sometimes, so she thinks his name is Russell Wilson.
I think we all just try to be our best every day. You know, I think every day I step in the building, just try to, bring my energy, bring the focus, the detail, the experience of it all too. And then when you step in between the white lines, you know, do everything you can to be your best version of you.
Do you think the Falcons should be the favorite in the South?
I do, but I also have my second axiom there is that the NFC South stinks.
Yeah.
Nobody's any good. The bottom is the worst. I think Carolina probably picks first or second again.
So it's more about the other teams than Atlanta?
Yes. So someone has to win that division.
Why don't people default to Tampa won it last year, didn't lose a ton, just assume they do again?
Because that, I don't know if it's, it has the same streak as the NFC East does, but it always feels like someone goes from worst to first or third to first, and it's topsy-turvy. They all beat each other. They're all 6-1, half dozen of the other. All these teams are flawed, low ceiling. We're here also. Someone's going to win 9 games.
Is this the year Mike Tomlin Steelers finish under 500? I think they scream 9-8 again.
It's perfectly set up because, again, their division's the opposite. That division is a buzzsaw.
Yeah, Baltimore really good. Cincinnati Super Bowl caliber like the Ravens. Both of those teams strong. And then the Browns have a quarterback dilemma. But if you take Deshaun Watson out of the equation, it's probably like a 13-14 win outfit. That's a loaded team. And that athletic piece... polling 31 agents, they asked who the best talent evaluating GM is, and a lot of people said Andrew Berry, their general manager. Now, I guess he swung and missed on Deshaun Watson, and we're not going to count that, but they've done a really good job everywhere else almost.
Absolutely. Yeah, so, I mean, to me, this feels like the year it finally happens, but you know what Pittsburgh's going to be. Limited offensively, great special teams, really competitive on defense. They're going to win some ugly football games. They're going to Pittsburgh it up.
1 o'clock kickoff at Soldier Field. All eyes will be on the Bears and the Titans because the number one pick in the draft will make his NFL debut. Caleb Williams will make his first start as Chicago's franchise quarterback. What a last year plus for general manager Ryan Poles, who made the massive trade to come down the board. They go get DJ Moore and a bevy of picks, turned into a number one overall selection. I mean, he is absolutely moving and shaking, beloved in Chicago. This was the GM Poles as he gets ready to watch his newest pupil.
I want him to lean on the talent around him. And then when the time is right, and that's an instinctual thing, and I think that plays right into him, that's when you do the special. And balancing that. And then sometimes it's going to get out of whack one way or the other, but always come back to that. It's kind of like that. That neutral place where he's at his best.
Does anybody want to type anything that he's saying? Does anyone want to just really loudly?
The furious typing.
So much
why are you so mad at the keys?
And why is the microphone on your keyboard?
Glide over the keys.
Who is typing so loud? Everyone's talking about the Bears, and understandably, that's where we started. The Titans are a fascinating team.
Yep.
I'm not going to go full Clary on you. Clary said at lunch today that he's got the Titans as a sneaky playoff caliber team. I mean, Ryan, I don't want to put words in your mouth. You said they're going to be a sneaky, let's watch out for them kind
of club. I think he's got to win in the division.
But didn't you also say they win the AFC South?
That's my hot take. I think they win the AFC South. I'm all in on Callahan. I think Will Levis could potentially surprise people, so we'll see.
What do you like most about Levis? How he plays football or that he eats his bananas with the peel on?
Eats banana with the peel on, but it's actually more so I think the Texans kind of fall off, and I think the Texans or the Titans kind of take a little step up here.
Yeah, so by the way, I'm at lunch with, before you, Darius, you got there, it was Ryan and Danny, both telling me how bad the Texans stink.
Nope.
And they're like, "That's not what happened. Look out for the Titans. And watch out for the Jaguars." You both said the Texans will not make the playoffs.
Right, but it's very different than they stink. I mean, you're doing everyone that made it last year will make it this year, which never happens. It's always half the teams fall off. They were a game away from flipping and flopping with Indianapolis Colts last year, and a winner-take-all thing.
Clary's got them 7-10. You just have them missing the playoffs.
Yeah, I think they're 9-8, right around the same as they were. Yeah. We're going to read the What's Wrong with the Texans articles as, you know, the Colts win one more game, and the AFC's too crowded. This never, is far cry from that they
stink. I never
stink.
Said 7-10 either as well.
You said worse than that.
I think you said 5-12.
Yeah.
No, all right, sure. I'm thinking like 9-8. I think they fall off and miss the playoffs.
3-14, I think is what
That's what he said. You wait on your chicken sandwich, you kill the mosquito, and you're like, dude, they're 3-14, they stink.
Remember, the Titans, Ryan Clary says, division champions. I am actually interested, though. They did the thing you should do to give your quarterback the best chance. Brian Callahan, OC from the Bengals, offensive-minded, comes over. Maybe you try to fix Will Levis. They went and got weapons as well, including Calvin Ridley. It's a lot of the things that I think you should be doing.
Yeah, sneaky Tyler Boyd signing as well from Cincinnati. That's going to help them. They updated it. It basically was like, give it to Derrick Henry and let's see what happens. They did that for a handful of seasons, and it was awesome for a while. Last couple of years, as they've been beset by injuries on both sides of the ball, they've been pretty terrible. No more Mike Vrabel. They've now kind of updated and changed that roster over a little tiny bit. Again, I don't think anybody in that division is excellent, right? But you know, if you buy the idea that Houston's maybe been prematurely crowned and it's going to be wide open as it's been, maybe Tennessee makes some noise. I don't think they're ready yet, though.
Let's skip back to some of the primetime activity in week one. Sunday Night Football is going to be awesome. 8:20 kickoff locally for the Rams and the Lions, a rematch of a tremendous playoff game from this past winter. The Lions just narrowly edging out the Rams at home in that game. Now we get to see it in week one on Sunday Night Football. When Matt Stafford's healthy, and he will be to start the season, the Rams are a different team. Like, they are a Super Bowl contending type club. So too are the Lions. They bring everybody back from that vaunted offense, including their coordinator, Ben Johnson, who left more teams at the altar for a second straight offseason. This is going to be a fun, maybe a telling game. If the Rams come out and beat the Lions, you got to consider them one of the better teams in the conference to kick off a brand new season. This is GM Brad Holmes, who put the Lions together on Jameson Williams, who's considered an X factor for Detroit this year.
I think it's very evident in the results that you saw this training camp that the work that he's put in, just like Ray was saying, the route running, everything, just him working with L, working with Goff, just doing all those things in the offseason and preparation. And he's got some good guys in that room, you know, obviously. You know, you have an elite player like St. Brown, and forget the performance, but, you know, how his intangibles are, and Khalif Raymond, you know, I mean, he's got really good guys to look upon and follow. But
go to the Rams for a second. Last year, I think a lot of people, myself included, kind of wrote them off because they started 3-6 and they were getting smashed by people. They were not impressive, struggling, couldn't find their identity, didn't know who they were, etc. After the bye week, they went 6-1. Their one loss was when Baltimore was playing excellent football in overtime in Baltimore. Gave them everything they could handle and lost a toss-up game. Ended up losing that epic one-point playoff game to Detroit. I didn't view their season that way. I just remember that start and kind of you have an impression of them. They were pretty nasty down the stretch. One of Sean McVay's better coaching jobs, I would say.
Oh, he was great, I thought, last year. Could have been the coach of the year. The Monday Night Football game to round out week one, now 6 days away, is the Jets and the 49ers. That game's in San Francisco. The Jets get Aaron Rodgers back on the field, first time since week one a year ago. New look wide receiver room, including Mike Williams coming over from the L.A. Chargers. Breece Hall is kind of a sexy top-of-the-board fantasy pick. Everyone thinks he's going to become a superstar this year. They drafted a monster of a running back to pair with him in the backfield in fourth-rounder Braylon Allen. No Haason Reddick, who has not yet reported, the lone holdout left in football. He's supposed to be a key piece to that defense. So without him, Jermaine Johnson, Will McDonald, their first-round picks in 22 and 23, respectively, will be coming off the edges. And for San Francisco, speaking of holdouts, No practice time, no preseason time for Brandon Ayuk or Trent Williams, but it's all hands on deck for a perennial Super Bowl power in the NFC as they try to get their season started.
For the Jets, they have been a quarterback away for two straight seasons. And that's why they were so desperate and went to get Aaron Rodgers and tried to make this thing happen. He lasted about 14 seconds.
Off and on for about 20 straight seasons.
Well, yeah, for sure. But last year, they were actually really good. And the last 2 years, really, they've been really, 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 really good. Defensively, they were fourth in football 2 seasons ago. Third in yards allowed last season. They're excellent everywhere except that quarterback spot. If you don't have Zach Wilson, if you have a replacement level Randy, just a dude checking it down. If you had Jacoby Brissett or Joe Flacco off his couch, which they probably could have had at any point, that's a playoff team. Over the last couple of seasons, they haven't been. I think they are poised for that breakout finally to have it happen there in New York.
Remember when they made two straight AFC championship games with Rex Ryan as their coach?
Just eating snacks.
And Mark Sanchez as their quarterback.
Yeah.
Who was like soon a backup and then an even sooner out of the league. Same kind of deal then. Like what might that team have been if they could have just had an average NFL quarterback? Sean Merriman is going to join us next, the former Maryland Terrapin and tremendous NFL pass rusher. We're going to get his thoughts on not only Maryland's big win this weekend, but the NFL season ahead. Our double play's coming up at 3:45, and we are blitzing at 4. This is Grant and Danny.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
At 5 o'clock today, Charles Davis joins the show, one of our favorite NFL guests. He's always fantastic. Make sure you're listening. Coming up in about 90 minutes. We got a Beltway Blitz coming your way right at 4 o'clock on Grant and Danny. And next hour, we're going to go through some Commanders' burning questions as we are on to week one ahead of NFL action starting in two nights on Thursday Night Football. Did you see the Sports Reporters is coming back to ESPN? The old
I
TV
did
show.
See that. Yeah. Do we know who the reporters are going to be?
I think it's going to be different each episode, if I had to guess. Because what I saw for the first episode, by the way, have they ever done anything more for me? Do you know who Jeremy Schapp's going to have on the first episode?
I don't know.
Mike Tirico, Joe Buck, Ian Eagle, and Kevin Harlan. And those four guys are going to be talking about essentially calling games and play-by-play.
They might as well just beam that right to your house.
I mean, are you kidding me? That thing wouldn't be better if it was in my living room. You couldn't design something better for me.
So back in the day when it was like so much Mike Lupica and other, I don't know, I forget some of the rest of the names, but it was basically arguing about New York sports, which wasn't for me. Like, I found myself growing wary of it. Just that it was the refusal to acknowledge that there were several cities outside of New York or Boston or you know, maybe even the Lakers. But it gave rise to the things that, you know, we all loved, right? It gave rise to some of the things that, you know, kind of changed television, some for the worse, but a lot for the better. Like, there's no PTI without the sports reporters. There's no, you know, this format to a degree without shows like that.
I just think that there is still a place for informed, if you want to call it boring, you can, sports content. It doesn't have to be personality driven. And by the way, information and intel and insight can still be personality driven. It just doesn't mean that I've got to wear a big clown suit and jump around and wave my hands in the air and act a fool. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. You can still provide that insight, provide that information without it. Like, to me, there's still a place for shows where the star of the show is the information. And ESPN has just gone so far away from that. They've sprinted. I don't know if getting rid of that show was because of the movement they made in the direction that they did to basically, like, scream shows and everybody having a terrible take and ridiculous content to fill 24 hours. But I'm just excited it's coming back.
Yeah, I'm hoping that they don't let it fall into the trap of the other, just the regular old debate shows, to your point, where it's just nothing but loud bits or shouting hot takes, or, you know, the 7,000th deep dive into Dak and his contract, or can anyone beat Mahomes, or what does this say about LeBron's legacy? Kind of the normal crap. But again, if I had a complaint, I remember at one point I used to watch it, I would say religiously, but pretty often, and it fell off a little bit, mostly because it sort of became a precursor to some of these debate shows that we see now, right? Where it was all things New York, all things Boston, the occasional, like, LA-related Lakers thing. And it was like, no, there's an entire sort of nation of sports that's hungry for content that, whether it relates to them or not, is just more relatable, right? And I felt like they lost their way to a degree. I mean, and the other thing, not to be flippant about it, but I think the sort of sudden death of John Saunders, and it was like 2015, 2016, really changed the landscape there.
Very possible. Yeah, that's possible. I can't wait for the first one, specifically up my alley, but also just the idea that it's coming back is a win. Let's go to the BetQL guest hotline now and welcome onto the show Sean Merriman, who's got the ties, of course, to the University of Maryland. He's a Terp and had such an excellent NFL career as one of the tremendous pass rushers of his era, joining us via Bet Online. Sean, thanks for the time. We really appreciate it. How are you?
I'm doing well, my man. How are you?
Doing good, great. I wanted to actually start with the Terps, who hung a 50-burger this week. They got athletes all over the place for Mike Locksley. What'd you make of their big performance and win over UConn?
I'll say this, and I might be a little biased because I'm from the area. I believe that the DMV area got the best talent in the country. And I believe when those guys stay home that we can compete against anybody in the nation, that's including anybody in Texas, anybody in Florida, Georgia. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I think that the DMV area has the most talent. Now, what you have to do is keep stringing those games along, right? Like, you can't put up a 50-piece and come out and, you know, get a team that's lesser than and not look as good. We know that they're going to slump all the teams that they should. The biggest thing is that they're getting better and better and better to compete with the Michigans of the world, compete with the Ohio States, who they had, by the way, on the hills for three quarters last year. So those are the games that we need to lead up to in order to get, man. But that talent there in the DMV area is something different.
Sean, let's go up a level to the NFL. Do you like the way the league is rolling out? I mean, it's great for us, you know, pudgy idiots like myself sitting at home watching television, but do you like this kind of, there's a game Thursday, there's a game Friday night, then there's like a doubleheader on Monday, like that sort of special rollout, or are you more of a traditionalist?
Are you asking from a player or a businessman?
Either way.
Look, I think as a player, right, you wanted to come into the game as healthy as possible. I remember the last couple of years when I came to Thursday night football game, you put older guys because you don't get enough time to recover. Now, the game is less physical. You know, they're not having padded practices during the week. They're taking bodies a lot more, so it's okay. But I think the NFL, and by having it spread out, because the last thing you want is guys sitting around scratching and can't move in all day because they're waiting the game on Sunday, right? So they give you just
enough. Sean, I'm going to throw you on hold because your phone's breaking up a little bit. So we're going to get that sorted out right now here on Grant and Danny, joined by Sean Merriman, the former Terrapin, who was such a good pass rusher with the Chargers in the NFL, had a really strong career. We'll get to, among other things, with Merriman, some of his picks for division championships, conference, Super Bowl, and see where it ends up. But we're joined now by Sean Merriman on Grant and Danny. What do you make of the Commanders' chances in Jaden Daniels as a rookie to make some noise in the NFC East?
You know, I said this. I think that Caleb Williams was the most talented quarterback that came out, but I think Jaden Daniels was the most NFL-ready quarterback that came out. And we're starting to see that already. Even in the preseason games, man, look at where he's placing the football. Like, what, you know, he's placing where guys don't get hit. Right on the back shoulder, that first bomb he had coming out, where he threw the ball, you know, I think 30 yards down the field, right over the shoulder, where only the wide receiver can catch it. So you look at him having the ability to come out and play right now. Not, don't forget, he can use his legs, right? Because I would tell any rookie this. When you're starting out, you're just getting in the NFL. If you're having problems with the speed of the game and anything like this, don't be afraid to take off or hurt a defense with your legs. And he's capable of doing that. So I got him as the most NFL-ready quarterback coming out of college.
Sean, who do you like in the NFC East?
Right now, with all the turmoil that's going on with Dallas, you never know with them. The inconsistencies with Philly, you never know with them. I tell you, the Commanders got a lot better. It's tough, man. You just don't know, but I know this, that it's not going to be as easy for the Cowboys this year, because what happens is you got the 3 to 4 year window where other teams get better, and the Commanders just got better.
Sean, you played in the AFC West for so long with the Chargers. Obviously, it's a new era there now with Jim Harbaugh, but the Chiefs have had a stranglehold on that division. The Broncos are trying to make some headway with Sean Payton, and they've turned things over to Bo Nix. And the Raiders have retained Antonio Pierce. They're the one team that's still got a pretty ugly quarterback situation, it seems like, out there. But how do you see that division shaking out?
Well, look, of course I'm going to be biased to the Chargers. I do think they've gotten a lot better. And me spending time around the team and the coaching staff, there's a different aura about them. There's a different level of confidence that's about them this year that they didn't have. And the physicality of these guys going to come out and play with, running with Gus Bradley and J.K. downhill and Joe, drafting Joe Alt, Rashawn Slater there. These guys are going to be a bunch of physical bunch, but it's just hard to snatch away the crown from KC until somebody dethrones them. And you're right, man. I think the Bo Nix is the future of that team. I think that was a great pick. I think it was he kind of caught a lot of people off guard the way he just jumped in and started doing his thing. And the Raiders, man, I mean, AP's my boy. Well, you're a good friend of mine, but I'll tell you this. You cannot win in that division without a quarterback. You just can't do it. And I don't care how great Max Crosby is, and he is great, how great that defense is going to play this year, how great Devontae Adams is, because you can't get the ball to him at the quarterback position.
Sean, forgive me. I don't remember if you ever held out or had contract disputes or anything, but I do know that San Francisco, without Trent Williams, Brandon Ayuk for so much of the offseason, the Jets, Hassan Reddick still hasn't reported, Jamar Chase is not practicing still with the Bengals. Well, we got a handful of guys this year who just kind of skipped the entire offseason until this week. Is that going to affect either those players individually or those teams, the offense, the defense they're a part of, the other guys adjusting, or do you think it's like riding a bike with some of those veteran stars?
I think guy like Trent Williams, who's been doing it forever, you could just pop him and he's going to do his thing. I think in the skill positions is going to be uphill battle. The timing, getting used to those routes and stopping and going, because it's hard, man, to replicate football, the actual game of it. You can work out all offseason sprints and change directions, doing your drills. There's nothing like playing an actual game of football. So it's going to take a few games for a guy like Jamar Chase to get back on it. Brandon Ayuk, it's going to take a little bit for those guys to get back going again.
Sean Merriman with us here on G&D. Sean, you spent a little time in Buffalo. I'll go to the AFC East here for a second. You got to go to the betting window now. You got to put money on Buffalo or any of the other three teams in the AFC East to win the division.
It's, I'm Bills Mafia for life, man, and love those guys out there, but we all know in football, you got a 3 or 4 year window before you come out of there and at least win one. I think I'm not going to say that window is closed, but it's gotten a lot smaller because Miami's gotten a lot better. Aaron Rodgers is on the field. That Jet team, I believe, is stacked. And the only team you don't have to worry about as much there is the Patriots, because I don't think they figured out their quarterback situation. Nothing against Jacoby or anything, Brissett. None against him, but you need a big time quarterback in order to win in that division. I don't think they got that there. So I can't put Bills, man, I think Miami's and the Jets just gotten so much better that it's hard to kind of just throw all your money on them.
Former Terp Sean Merriman, courtesy of Bet Online. Check out Bet Online for updated Super Bowl, conference, division, and awards odds, plus win totals for each team. Week one lines, plethora of fun props on every game, and so much more. Sean, we'll let you out on this. We want your Super Bowl prediction for this year. Who wins? Who loses?
Well, I don't think a three-peat is in the cards for KC, even though I hate going against the champs. It's so hard to go against anybody that's won back-to-back. But a three-peat, knowing that the Texans has gotten better, Aaron Rodgers is back. You know the Chargers are going to be much better than they were last year. Their road to get back to the Super Bowl is going to be tough. NFC side, I like the 49ers. I do, because I think they're the most balanced team in football. But I think the AFC is wide open. I don't see the Chiefs going for a three-peat.
It's too hard to do. Nobody's ever done it. Sean, always a pleasure, man. Really appreciate the time. Enjoy the week one.
You got it, guys. Make sure you also download my new free ad-supported platform, Lights Out Sports TV, available on all smart TVs. Free ad. We got a big fight coming up, Lights Out Extreme Fight, this Friday. That'll be live on Lights Out Sports TV. That's available with every major CTV platform.
Love it. Always making moves, Sean. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate you.
You got it. Thank you.
All right, you're the man. There's Sean Merriman on Grant and Danny here on The Fan via Bet Online, joining us here on G&D. Next, let's get you a double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. We're blitzing at 4 o'clock. We're talking Commanders burning questions in week one at 4:25. This is The Fan. Double play on Grant and Danny, driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers. Today, our double play, what's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Seems like a good time to remind everybody you can come hang out with us tonight. We are drafting our fantasy football teams in our Grant and Danny Listener League. If you are not in the league, no problem. You can join us and eat some wings and have a good time at a sports bar while we are discussing football. A bunch of listeners are going to be there. We're going to be in Crystal City tonight at Highline. R&R draft starts around 7 o'clock. Get there when you can. We'll be there throughout the evening.
Indeed. Just indulging in delicious foodstuffs and camaraderie. Dare I say, even some fellowship, GP. Always fun.
Time for our double play. Danny, what do you got?
Rings of Power is back, GP. It started the premiere of season two, debuted late last week, a three-episode head start to kind of get the season moving. Last season, up and down, a little bit uneven. The sets, designs, everything was beautiful. You were in Middle Earth, obviously, at the start of the Second Age. You know that. I don't need to tell you, but I'm talking to everybody else now. You basically have the return of Sauron in guise. This is according to Middle-earth lore. They took a lot of liberty story-wise in season number one, and that's continued, but I think they listened to some of the critical feedback here, and they're trying at least to do a few things, I guess, slightly differently. They're still a little bit too much, again, these like extra plot lines. They're trying very hard to have this kind of panoramic and the feel of the same thing of the original Lord of the Rings trilogy, where you've got the separate quests. You don't exactly have it hitting as hard as it probably should. For example, what's taking place in Numenor through the first few episodes.
It should not be taking place in Numenor.
They're sort of like an also-ran character, and yet they're sort of like this mainstay. There's this intrigue we're supposed to have about this political infighting, and a lot of us don't care. I'm just not into it. Please tell me what's happening with Annatar. Please tell me what's happening with Celebrimbor. Show me what's happening with this stranger slash potential one of the five wizards, maybe one of the two blues that we never see. I don't know if he's... I don't know if he's Palando, I don't know if he's Alatar, I don't know what he is, but they haven't told us yet, but there's intrigue there. Now he's fighting with the Southlanders, and there's also a Dark Wizard involved. That's positive. I like that storyline with him and Noldi and Nori and Poppy, who kind of tagged along there from the Harfoots. That's a whole other thing. But I will tell you, pretty pleased through three episodes. Good, not great, visually stunning, but a little too much whining for some of the characters, the younger versions of characters that we know and love very well.
Very good. Well done. Thank you. Should I do my double play now, Darius, or should I wait till everyone turns their radios back on?
Ho! Hey-o! Zinger Zams!
Whoa!
Come on. Here we go.
Who said that?
Here we go.
Who put that question mark on the telephone?
Here we go.
Calembrumbor? Did I hear a Calembrumbor?
Calembrumbor. Spell that for me.
Say it again.
The real Elven pronunciation is Calembrumbor. But okay. the way it's fashioned for us, because we can't speak the Elven speech. We're not from Arda. Calembrumbor is how you hear it a lot.
Calembrumbore. Calembrumbor.
No, but that was adorable.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's how I wrote it down in my journal, Calembrumbor. It's time for my double play. I want to talk about Calembrumbor. Just kidding.
You won't. He forged the rings, man. Sleep on with your own right.
Surprising that boar is in that word. Come on.
What did he say? Man, oh man.
Who's done it? Come on, who's done it? I'm not moving on. Who's done it? Come on, who's done it? All right, two things, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
I think you'll be interested in both. I can't promise you.
All right.
Number one, I've got a very hot take. This one you'll hate. Major League 2 gets a bad rap. I think Major League 2, I'm not saying it's Major League, number one. But I do think the movie, Major League 2, better than I remembered it being. I watched it this weekend. Now, it was late at night.
You're a little bit punch drunk when you watched
it.
Exactly.
I watched it, and I'm like, this isn't terrible. Did we sleep on Major League 2 just a little bit?
Here's why it got panned.
Okay.
Because it couldn't recreate what 1 was.
But it's not a bad movie.
I've actually always argued this. It's not as awful as everyone remembers.
Ooh, I thought you would completely disagree with
it. It is not as awful. Everyone says it's awful, it sucks, it's stupid.
Yeah.
Because you can't recreate the magic that was the original Major League,
also,
which was just perfect.
How does Wesley Snipes just not show up?
Yeah.
There's just a different guy playing Willie Mays Hayes.
Yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, you shouldn't feel good.
Could they not get a contract done with him?
I think that was the beginning of Wesley's difficult period. He started being a little bit tougher to work with.
Was that he wasn't in jail for like the tax stuff or anything?
I think that was to come later, if my timeline's right.
Okay. Well, he should have been in that movie because he's a 10, Miss Davis, a 10. The other thing is, have you seen Adam Sandler Love You on Netflix?
No.
Are you familiar?
No.
So this is, I don't really know what it is, having watched half of it now.
Mm.
I'm about, quite literally, you can see it right here. I'm halfway through Adam Sandler Love You on Netflix, okay? The red line is about 50%.
All right.
I really like it. And I was prepared to not laugh and to not like it. And I've said before, like, the Adam Sandler movie thing, I'm pretty good on. I loved his wheelhouse movies like everyone else did years and years ago. Big Daddy and Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore. But all the stuff now are just him and guys. And he's doing the voices. I'm out. He's just kind of... If you're weird enough, you're considered a genius. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you mean. We confuse eccentricity with genius.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But so here's what I don't know. I don't know what this is exactly. It's like made almost movie-ish, but it's a stand-up routine that he's doing. And maybe it'll be explained in the back half. But it's basically just like Adam Sandler stand-up, and he did it in a funny way. Everyone tries to put a little wrinkle on it, like you're running in and you walk out in that outfit and you're doing your set. You know, he has essentially like the start of a movie, it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's doing his set the whole time. But it's very, very funny. And like he does these little songs where they have nothing to do with anything. And again, I don't know if it was because it was late at night or what. I'm just cracking up. And I want you to watch it. My guess is you'll hate it. But I thought I would hate it. And I found myself liking
it. Well, I certainly appreciate people trying to do something different, right? Like sometimes we swing and miss in that regard. But
it
like
it's very different. It's not like anything else, I don't think. On Netflix.
Yeah, think of like a stand-up special. A great one probably popped in your head. Chris Rock's last special, I think it was his last one, was Tambourine, where it was the same stuff but three different places.
Yes.
Right? That's unique. That's a little bit different. Neil Brennan, one of the writers on Chappelle's Show, dry and funny as hell, did a thing with three different microphones where he took on different personas. Seth Meyers in a stand-up special had a whole chunk where he performed but as his wife. And I know that sounds... weird, but it makes more sense because it's jokes about him from his wife's perspective.
So I've never seen that, but as someone who doesn't find him funny even a little bit, that's not surprising to hear.
Well, I'm telling you, that was the best part. Yeah, I think he's fine. A little bit too smug for me.
I find his shtick, it's just not for me.
Which I get. But the stand-up special, it was going fine. It was okay. It's some pretty clever stuff. I mean, he's a comedian. He knows what he's doing. The section where it's about him... But his wife writing the jokes was the best part of it.
Wasn't there a thing that came out that Jennifer Lawrence like really wanted to date him or something and found out he was married? That's the weirdest thing I've ever heard.
There was a Nicole Kidman like Jimmy Fallon thing.
Different thing. Yeah, that was she thought she was going to date Jimmy Fallon and he just played video games.
Yeah.
That was great. No, apparently, I'll have to look it up and find it in the break. Like Jennifer Lawrence had a big crush on Seth Meyers.
Wow.
And I don't know why. I can't quite figure that one out. But I'd love to know more.
I'd love to double click on that.
Very strange. The Beltway Blitz is next on Grant and Danny. Let's talk Commanders burning questions next hour. We got our guy Charles Davis on the show at about 1 hour and 5 minutes, right at 5 o'clock on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.